It was getting harder to breathe. Richard felt giddy and lightheaded. The table in the doorway splintered and was sucked away through the door. One of Richard's manacles popped open, and his right arm whipped free. He grabbed the chain holding the left hand and gripped it as tightly as he could, grateful that the broken finger was on the hand that was still in the manacle. Even so, red and blue flashes of pain were shooting up his left arm. He could hear himself, distantly, shouting in pain. He could not breathe. White blotches of light exploded behind his eyes. He could feel the chain beginning to give way. The sound of the black door slamming closed filled his whole world. Richard fell violently back against the cold iron pillar and slumped to the floor. There was silence then in the hall, silence and utter darkness in the great hall under the earth. Richard closed his eyes. It made no difference to the darkness, and he opened his eyes once more. The hush was broken by the Marquis's voice asking, dryly,
"So, where did you send them?"
And then Richard heard a girl's voice talking. He knew it had to be Dawes, but it sounded so young, like the voice of a tiny child at bedtime, at the end of a long and exhausting day.
"I don't know. A long way away. I'm very tired now.
Door,"
said the Marquis. "Snap out of it." It was good that he was saying it, thought Richard. Somebody had to, and Richard could no longer remember how to talk. There was a click then, in the darkness, the sound of a manacle opening, followed by the sound of chains falling against a metal pillar, then the sound of a match being struck. A candle was lit. It burned weakly and flickered in the thin air.
"Fire and fleet and candle lit," thought Richard, and he could not remember why.
Dor walked unsteadily to the Marquis, holding her candle. She reached out a hand, touched his chains, and his manacles clicked open. He rubbed his wrists. Then she walked over to Richard and touched his single remaining manacle. It fell open. Dor sighed then, and sat down beside him. He reached out his good arm and cradled her head, holding her close to him. He rocked her slowly, back and forth, crooning a wordless lullaby. It was cold, cold, there in the angel's empty hall. But soon the warmth of unconsciousness reached out and enveloped them both. The Marquis de Carabas watched the sleeping children. The idea of sleep, of returning even for a short time to a state so horribly close to death, scared him more than he would have ever believed. But eventually, even he put his head down on his arm and closed his eyes. And then there were none.